Let's open our Bibles up to the Song of Solomon and the 8th chapter, and God willing, we will conclude our journey through the Song of Solomon this evening. I believe, though, you'll be reminded of the Song of Solomon from here on out every day of your life. So praise be to God. It's ongoing. Hallelujah. And that's the work of our wonderful Savior. But I trust the Lord that this has truly been a most precious time for you. I thank God it's been for my life. I believe if the Lord tarry, it'll be like that in John 2, though. But we're so thankful to God of what he's doing. But I thank God for your passion for more truth and love. I know he gets all the credit. We couldn't take any of that anyways. But I do give him all the praise. But I am thankful for your lives. It does encourage, inspires my heart that people want to know more of the love of Jesus. And then we're so grateful to God that we know that he's the one that's faithful. And in his great faithfulness, we know he'll perform the good work which he's begun. And I thank the Lord that, you know, these things be sown in our life. I'll tell you what a harvest to come. So praise the Lord again for his love. But last week, we rejoiced in verses 5 through 7 of chapter 8. We were encouraged in this bride. We were encouraged of, again, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that she was completely on fire for him, set aflame. If you read about the four living ones, the cherubim in Ezekiel, you'll see that they're as they're being written of, they're fiery ones. They're on fire. And their fire is the love of God. They're lovers. It's passion beyond, brothers and sisters. And as we read last week, what was so wonderful, the first love was sealed in her heart for him. It was sealed up, praise be to God. And that fiery passion was all that remained with her and her bridegroom. But then in verse 8, we saw that her attention was then turned to her little sister. And we saw that the little sister had no breasts. We saw that this was one that was not near ready to be a wife. But I did want to emphasize one thing again. Praise God for the heart of the bride of Christ. Praise God for that heart that cares for souls. And truly cares for the family of God, that really, really cares for those that are running for Christ's best. That is the evidence of the bride. The bride just isn't all shut up to him and not thinking or caring for anyone else. Don't get me wrong. He's first and foremost. But as that becomes the reality of our life, we increase. We're going to read that, my goodness, her garden not only has a thousandfold, it's even got extra tonight, that after it's given to him, she's even got more of that wondrous fruit that pours out to others too. What a testimony of the love of God in this life. See, she's like him, isn't she? See, praise God, we know it all comes from him. But from glory to glory, she really does become like him. And it's so wonderful, the love that's in this sweet sister. But she says, as the mature saints say, what shall we do for her? And I appreciated how she said this. She says, what shall we do for her? See, she's speaking to the bridegroom. There is precious communion here. And it's not just going on the other side. It happens right now. I appreciated, sister, as I was encouraged so many years ago again, and I'd heard it a long time back, but it was so real. The definition of vessel is one that adds to the usefulness of the husband. This is who she is. And this is so wonderful because she is occupying as the readied wife right now. And it's so wonderful, this conversation that goes back and forth. You can see that she takes the place of jointly reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ. Amen? You've seen this precious one as the prophecy has been rolled forth in this precious Song of Solomon. She says, hey, we got to turn our attention back now to the tribulation. This thing's got to wrap up. Let's go. Isn't that wonderful? See, she doesn't take a back seat. It's one. It's a union. Praise God. It is. It's they're glorified together. Hallelujah. And it's so wondrous how, again, Christ in her is the hope of glory. But she says to her bridegroom, what can we do for this little sister? What a precious heart she has for the family of God. Now, again, I want you to remember this little sister represents saints, represents the saints that have missed God's best. They missed that time that they could have, again, prepared and been the readied wife for the husband, just as the bride is here, the Shulamite. And again, this group could be the innumerable multitude, the 144,000. I want you to understand it's a lesser rank, and they did not have to miss it. And it reminds me so much, especially of this little sister. Turn with me a little bit over to Hebrews chapter 5. And see, this will quicken our hearts, brothers and sisters, to what Paul said to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5. And again, he's ministering to them. This is a very similar message that he gave to the Galatians when he said, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Again, Paul is telling us, again, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. But you don't preach any other gospel. If you want to attain to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, listen to the words of the Word of God. And Paul says, you preach no other gospel. You follow me as I follow Christ. And here he tells the Hebrews here in chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, meaning of Jesus Christ and the truth, basically, and hard to be uttered. See, he was getting into the deep things of God with these people, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. See, the deep things of God aren't just beyond your comprehension because you're not smart enough. The Spirit will make it known to you if you're willing. But when you're dull of hearing the Word of God, everything of the Word of God is hard to be understood. Amen? What causes you to be dull of hearing? How about pride? How about unbelief? How about legality? Fear, all of those different things. That causes you to be dull of hearing. You want to be sharp of hearing? Believe in the grace of God. Believe in the Word of God. Hear the Word of God and just believe God. Lord, you said it, it's so. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Amen? Call those things which be not as though they were. Amen? Praise be to God. We do not live by sight. We live by faith. And the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Praise God. But here it goes. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you should be teaching this. Ye have the need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Brothers and sisters, do you see why she's a little sister? Do you see why they say that she has no breasts? It's because she's not able to teach. She's not able to feed others of Paul's gospel. She might be able to tell you how to be saved, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm not making light of that. I'm so grateful to God, however Christ is preached. But how much the more when the fullness of the gospel is preached? This is what Paul is saying here. It's not twisted around. It's very evident. He had given these ones the whole counsel of God. They should be preaching these things and teaching these things. And what does he say to them? He says, I've got to teach you again. It's pretty much shame on you. We're going to have to go right back to the milk. I can't give you strong meat. I can't preach to you Paul's gospel, this gospel, the mystery of Christ in the church, the bridal message. And so simply because you won't hear it. That's the reason. Had nothing else to do with, but you wouldn't hear it. Isn't that something? See, people want to see things. They want to feel things. They want every sensation coming into a church except to hear the Word of God. It's the truth. And it's the truth because It's the word of God. He said that you would not endure sound doctrine, that they would have itching ears for everything else. Isn't that something? Yeah. Heaping to themselves. Just preachers here, preachers there. Got a letter here just today. Very large Christian meeting in this town. Been here for many, many years. Huge place. And they're all excited and inviting us because they're bringing in one of the most famous Catholic nuns in all the world to come to speak. That's what it's become. I'm just telling you. They're doing it for their own bellies. And there are ones that know better. But the problem is when you want to be dummied down, God will give you over to it. He'll let you go whatever way you want. And when you go away from him, it's going to be one way. It's going to be leanness to your soul. And that's the truth. That is the truth. So there it is. And God's word is true. But brothers and sisters, this little sister, as it sums it up, will be in the second trump rapture. That's why the day she will be answered or called for. That's why it says that in that precious eighth verse. But now let's go on back to Song of Solomon, and we'll begin the ninth verse. And this is the bridegroom responding to the question of what shall we do with the little sister. And listen to the response that he gives to the bride. If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. Isn't that something? Again, we. Listen to that, bridal ones. When he talks about jointly reigning and ruling with him, he means what he says. Now, does he need any help? Never would need any help. But you know what? It's divine. This is his wife that he's waiting for. He will not take the throne of God until he has his queen. I hope that excites you. Should. If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Now, so wonderful this statement is. But to really understand what he's talking about for this little sister, for this, in a sense, company of ones that have missed the best, let's go on over to Revelation 21. And remember, he said, well, if she be a wall, we'll make her a wall. If she be a door, we'll make her a door. Okay? So let's go on over to Revelation 21, and we'll begin reading from the ninth verse of Revelation 21. And this is John, again, being taken up in spirit and shown again, this the wonderful bride, the Lamb's wife. He says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Remember that high mountain, because we're going to finish with some mountains tonight. It's amazing where the bride is. It's amazing where you'd even have to see her. You have to get to the highest mountain to even look up to see her. That's how high she is. I love this. And he got to that high mountain and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So see, that's the Lamb's wife. Having the glory of God. See, she has the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, continue here to read with me to the 14th verse. And had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. So see, we got some gates and doors, don't we? And at the gates, 12 angels, and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Of the east, 3 gates, of the north, 3 gates, of the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, so see, we can see here this bride, she's descending with his glory. She has her light. But notice the walls and the gates. Again, I'll reiterate, they are of the 144,000. They are of the disciples there, if you read that. It's very simple to see that there. And as you read on, even down a little bit further into that chapter, the foundations are garnished with all manner of precious stones in the street of pure gold. All the companies of heaven, brothers and sisters, will be part of that incredible city. All the companies are part of that city. Stay with me on it. All one of another, all of him. This little sister, we see, will be part of, again, that wall, a door. Yes, all by his faithfulness. Even though she missed the best, she remained a child. But still, because he's so faithful, she will be part of the city whose builder and maker is God. How wonderful. I'm so thankful to God that we see this precious city and we see, again, how the saints of God make up this wonderful city. It's wonderful. But let's go on. As we go on here, let's see how the bride responds. And then this will all come together to see her preeminent place in that city as well. Going back and reading verse 10. She says, I am a wall. This is the bride. And my breasts like towers. Then I was I in his eyes as one that found favor. See, she's a wall. There's no ifs, ands, or doubts about her being anything. She's confident in her standing. And she understands the deep things of God. She understands, brothers and sisters, that the other companies will be part of her in that city. But she is not only a wall. She says, my breasts are like towers. And if you understand about the towers and how they were built on top of the wall. Matter of fact, they were the toppers on the wall. And I love that as well, because from the tower, you also had the vantage point. You could see afar off. See, this again speaks of her vision. If you read about the four living ones, they have eyes. They're full of eyes, within, without. They can see the whole plan of God. They see the whole precious, wonderful privilege to be in the bride of Christ. And yes, as we read, she is the glory of him. She has his light in her. She is the focal point of all the city whose builder and maker is God. She is the glory of his grace. If you turn over to Revelation 19, look what it says there in chapter 7. In Revelation 19, 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The righteousness of saints. What did we just read about the city? The city, praise God, she's the focal point. She just is. She's the, praise God, she's got that glory. Praise God, and her light. It's all him that does it. We understand this. But he has set her up because that's my glory. The woman is the glory of man. God was bringing this out at the very beginning of what Christ's bride would be to him. And how beautiful we see that in the walls and the gates and in the jewels and the stones and all that. That's the whole family of God that's built around her. This is as we see her dress. It's the righteousness of saints. Isn't that beautiful? All the righteousness of saints, the daughters of Jerusalem that we've read about, the little sisters, all the companies of heaven will be her gown. It's amazing. It's wonderful. But the best here is she knows her value. She knows her wealth. She knows her beauty to him. I want you to think about that tower. Yes, it's a place of lookout. It's a place of a defense. But it even has some more precious meanings in it. That word tower means a pulpit. She's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That word tower, it means an elevated bed. An elevated bed. It's the choicest place of intimacy. She took it. She went into the place. She dwelled with him as his readied wife. And how did she dwell with him as his readied wife? She feasted upon Paul's gospel. That's it. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Thank you, Lord. And maybe even the best part of all of this verse, going back here and looking at that precious 10th verse, then was I in his eyes. Don't you love to be in his eyes? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever really, really been in love before? I'm talking even naturally speaking. Boy, there was something in your eyes. But let me tell you something. That is not even worthy to be compared, uttered, with what's in his eyes. Huh? And that's all that matters, brothers and sisters, are his eyes. His vision. Amen? Amen. His glorious plan for us, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the entire plan of God, the entire purpose of it all. In his eyes, not man's eyes, but here in the Word of God, this is what she became as one that found favor. Isn't that wonderful? She didn't earn favor, did she? She didn't merit favor. Huh? She found it. How many times do I have to tell you, he says to us, it's just my grace. I'm ravished by you. From the very beginning of beginnings of beginning, when the Father turned to me and said, Son, it's not good for man to live alone. In my eyes. In my eyes. Know it. There's no other treasure. There's no other treasure. I'm not even going to say treasure to be compared. There is no other treasure. So, it's wonderful. And it even gets more wonderful. Because found grace means to literally have light come into. She had light come into her. Well, why wouldn't she? Didn't we read about the bride, the Lamb's wife, and her light? It all lines up, doesn't it? Huh? Didn't we just read that in Revelation 21? Having the descended from heaven, having the glory of God and her light? Well, I'm going to tell you again, this word found, this precious found favor, it means literally to have light come into. And yes, it is her light, the glory of the city, and completely lit up with him. All his favor, completeness, his riches, his peace. For she is the new Jerusalem. Never forget what Jerusalem means. It means double peace. Double peace. And new Jerusalem. That means unheard of, uncommon. Because it's new, there's now double peace. Take that tonight to rest, huh? All right, on to verse 11. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Everyone for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. Now, Baal Hamon means the abundance of the Lord, and that's what his vineyard is. He's the vine, and from him there is always the abundance. And he says here, let his vineyards out to the keepers. Well, brothers and sisters, he is after fruit from all of his children. And all of these numbers are so precious. And I thank God for the saints that have searched these things out. And again, it's just the Spirit that reveals it. But 1,000 is the glory of the Lord. The number 1,000 is the glory of the Lord. Silver speaks of redemption. So see, this is exactly what he's after. The glory of the Lord is good fruit. Amen? Because you know you can't produce no fruit. except something bad. But I'll tell you what, he produces good fruit in your life. That's the glory of the Lord. And this is what this is getting at. And we know in the Word of God, he says, the husbandman waits patiently for the fruit. And this is the inheritance of God, and it's all in the saints. And how he desires from each and every one of us a thousandfold increase, praise God. He wants us to have, again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the same theme. This is the same precious encouragement from glory to glory into his very image. It is all there for us. Then going on to verse 12, my vineyard. Here it says, my vineyard. This is the bride speaking. Which is mine is before me, thou, O Solomon, must have a thousand, and thou and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200. So this is the bride expressing once again her confidence in the grace of God. Think how confident this precious sister is. Just as she says about her breasts, my breasts are like towers. And then now she says, my vineyard, which is before me. Now, this is pretty amazing because you remember early on in the Song of Solomon, she wasn't really interested in her vineyard enough, was she? She was out helping others. She was more interested in a brother or sister's vineyard than she was her own. And what happened? She had to go look for him again, didn't she? You stay put in the garden that the Lord has given you. Amen? And praise God, is that abundance comes up in your garden, it will help the others and things of that nature. But I walk with the Lord alone. I can plant, I can water by the grace of God, but he gives the increase. And we need to leave those things to God, no matter how much we love somebody. We have to understand that the Lord has to do it. But I'll tell you what, we know that when we leave our vineyard unattended, brothers and sisters, there's devastating things that happen to our walk. But now, hallelujah, she is all about and only about her vineyard for him. And that is what is so wondrous again. 1,000 to her husband. That means all glory to him. He gets all the first fruit. He's my first love. And then those that had supplied her and encouraged her all along, praise be to God, there's enough for them too. That's the number 200. And the number 200, it means a proof, an evidence. Think of it this way. The testimony, the testimony. When we go on with God, when we allow the Lord truly to work in us to be filled with all the fullness of God, when there is that testimony of running well, when there is that testimony that I live a life, if by any means I might attain, I'll tell you what, that wine is just going to blow over everywhere. It is. They're going to be fruit abundant. There's going to be spices all over the place. There's going to be the evidence in those spices, as we're going to read here in a moment. That's the precious work of the Holy Ghost. That's the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. And I thank God again how sweetly and wonderfully he does this. But notice again, who's doing it? He does. Notice who performs it? He does. What do? We do nothing but open up to receive. Praise God. And this is the abundance that he continues to pour throughout our lives. And what an amazing testimony of grace it is. Now going on to verse 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Now this is very important here, because thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. See, brothers and sisters, that's his dwelling place, is in your garden. And his companions, that word companions means worshipers. The worshipers hearken to his voice. Isn't that the truth? The worshipers give heed and listen and hear his voice. Let's go back and again. What does the word worshiper mean? It means to draw nigh in fervent love as to kiss. When you're in love like that, when you have a love, let me tell you something, you listen. You hearken. You give ear to that voice, to what they're saying. And this is exactly the truth, brothers and sisters. The worshipers, the true worshipers, worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's the Holy Ghost that leads us into all the truth and love. So that's why she has this ear to hear. And she says again, think of this, cause me to hear it. See, that's so precious. the necessity of the grace of God. Amen? See, we need to pray for that all the time. Don't just think, well, I know so much, I have so much, I've just grown so much in the Lord that I don't need to ask the Lord anymore to really hear the truth. Wouldn't that be foolish? You're always needing the grace. That's the grace for grace. Amen? See, I need to pray to the Lord. Lord, I know that grace is there. But by your grace, let me take more grace. Amen? By your grace, let me take more grace to believe you more and more, to see more and more. And this is exactly what she's saying. Cause me to hear it. See, the Lord has to open our hearts to receive. Do you know that? And he wants to more than anything. But we must surrender to him. If we're going on into that holy of holies, brothers and sisters, which is wide open, again, you're going to go through four pillars. And that is the place of complete weakness. You will not have this fellowship with any shred of pride left in your life. You can't go in there with any flesh. You're only going in there by God's grace because of the blood of the Lamb. If you're not interested in looking at only the blood, you're not fellowshipping in that place. You're welcome to it. That veil was rent in twain. That is your place. But you won't dwell there in this fellowship unless it's all about the blood of the Lamb. Cause me to hear it. Isn't that precious? This precious one that has received so much that jointly rules and reigns always understands it's you. It's you. See how beautiful this is? It's just the grace upon grace that the Lord gives us. Every desire must be from and of him. She gets it all. She gets it that she has no strength. It's all of him. Now let's finally reach here to the 14th verse. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Brothers and sisters, I am so thankful to God that he testifies his truth. Do you see? The need of that young roe heart fellowship always. We grow so stoic in our faith and so mature and cold in what we know. You'll miss this place. You won't be here. And I say that gladly, boldly, thankfully. And I say it to my brethren of like precious faith, wake up. Wake up. I'm seeing it more and more. I've seen as the Lord has brought me back to see as my life has walked through these things and to walk through wondrous truth and to see vessels so encouraged to bring forth truth. But brothers and sisters, God help us after we maybe step out of a pulpit or step out of our teaching place or step out of whatever, that's the life we live. It's not just a recorded message of, well, I've studied through this many times. Now look at, I understand and know that his word does not return void unto him. But did I ask him by the grace of God, as this precious sister did, cause me to hear it? And when he causes you to hear it, you know what you ask him for? Lord, let me understand that I want you to be loving me like this young buck thing. You see how he has to bring this to you? I don't care if you have to think a thumper. I don't know what it is, you know, back in the visuals God gives you. But this is the truth. Think of who went in. Who went into the promised land? Was it the old Stoics? Was it the ones that had been there and seen so much and done so much and all of this? Or was it the kids in heart, which also included the likes of Caleb and Joshua? Huh? Oh, I'm sure those other guys there in the group, when Caleb came back and said, oh, we're well able to take this baby. Quit being so immature, you old goat. Your eyes just look like some teenager, Caleb. What's wrong with you? Is that who you see? You have eyes like that? Huh? You had a pastor like that. Oh, I thank God you did. Who grabbed my arm at almost the last time of his life. As I asked him on that fishing trip. And I said, oh, Papa, how are you like that? And he turned to me and he said, oh, honey, I've never felt old. But then he really pulled me in the second time and he said, son, never stop learning. Just like this sweetheart said, cause me to hear it. Oh, what we've been witnessed. What we've been witnessed. Yes. Yes, let that soak in. But praise God, brothers and sisters. Don't you hear in this 14th verse? Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountain of spices. Don't you hear in this, even so come, Lord Jesus? That's what she's saying. Make haste, hurry, come quickly, take flight, my beloved. See, only lovers speak like this. Only lovers speak like this. You, when you get home, you're going to speak like this to him? I pray you do. Now, Father, I know it's on your time, but come on. And you know Jesus is giving it to him on the other side too. Says, Father, can I go get her tonight? And there's nothing more the Father wants to hear is the lovers that want to be together. Amen. But this is what Paul's gospel does. See, without Paul's gospel, you ain't going to be rejoicing in this stuff. You can't. It won't work. Because, again, the Word of God tells you it must be the Holy Ghost that enlightened the eyes of your understanding to take you, yea, into the deep things of God by my Spirit to show you these things. Amen. See, brothers and sisters, this isn't a language of children. This is the language of the lovers. And this is her even kind of commanding, urging him in love. She is the one that charges the daughters even and calls to them. And he calls to him, be like a young lover upon the mountain of spices. And the reason she continues to say that, and the reason we need to say that to him always, set my heart aflame, bridegroom. Set my heart aflame. Every time I look at this, let me see that. When I'm feeling low, and I know this, but I'm not feeling anything. I feel like I've been dropped into the desert of deserts. Set my heart aflame, bridegroom. This is what she's saying. See, this is where we need to dwell. The only place the lovers dwell. Do you remember back when we talked about the spices, as I mentioned just a moment ago? The only thing, the only one that can bring the spices into our life is the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost can bring that spice, the product. You talk about the spice of life. This is the spice of abundant life. This is what the Holy Ghost does. Amen. And he produces this in our lives. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. You find that in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And it's in those mountains. Notice here again, the mountains, right? Upon the mountains of spices. Where did John have to be taken to look at the New Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife? He had to be taken to a high mount. Amen. It's all there. And it only gets better. And my goodness, we're just looking at a glass darkly. Someday we're even going to behold it and holding it. Him. Praise God. How wonderful. But see, it's in these heights is where the Holy Ghost can bring us and produce in our lives this. Again, the young buck intimacy. So as we conclude, thank you, Jesus. What a journey it has been. And brothers and sisters, think it all began with let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I believe Rebecca said it this way. I will go. That's saying the same thing. That's the beginning. Let him kiss me. When you start kissing him like that, when he kisses you with that, that means you said, I will go. And praise God, it's led throughout this entire journey. And you think about this journey that we've gone through with this precious sister. Down settings and uprisings. Isn't that amazing? All of these different things that God has taken her through. Even taken us through the rapture. We saw in chapters here the different companies. Think of all that we've seen in these 8 little chapters of this one little book. Contains all the epistles of Paul. It truly does. I've heard people say, oh, it's got a little bit of, you know, I think it might have some of Ephesians. It's got Ephesians in it. It's got Philippians. It's got Colossians. It's got Romans. It's got some Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd. It's got all this stuff. Timothy 2 and 1. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And it's even got Revelation and much, much more. But see, brothers and sisters, without Paul's gospel, we'll never see a bit of it. Isn't that amazing? Do you see what you see because of the chosen vessel unto God? Isn't that amazing? How, again, amazing not Paul is, but the word of God and how true it is. He's a chosen vessel unto me. He's going to have the dispensation. He's going to be the domestic of the gospel of the mystery of Christ and his bride. Isn't that amazing? And through that, all of this came to light. The prophets, they looked into this, they saw this, they wrote these things, but they did not know. But they were writing them for us. And this is what we have. Oh my, praise God. But maybe most to be remembered tonight, with all that abounding hope, this last verse brings us back to where we are right now. It does. With all of this abounding hope, abounding hope, abounding hope, it brings us back to where we are right now and the opportunity to press on right now. And know it, brothers and sisters, the only place that he'll be won is in the heights, in the mountains. The only way we will scale to that place is with hinds feet. You ever hear of hinds feet? I think you have. And you know what hinds feet are? It's Paul's gospel. That's hinds feet. That's what takes you up. It does. That gospel. It takes you there, and it's hinds feet gospel. Every footstep is absolutely assured and confident because I'm following Paul as he followed Christ. Isn't that amazing? I love it. And there is the place of all the spices, all the Holy Ghost brings. He brings all the fruit. He brings all the filled with the fullness of God. Yes, full of the Holy Ghost. And brothers and sisters, I am thankful to God. I believe by his grace, we are there. We wouldn't be rejoicing in this tonight if we weren't there. But may we press on. May we fight on. May we stand, withstand, and having done all, to stand. And not be moved. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. And what do we fight for? More love. More grace, more faith, praise God. Yes, more of Jesus, till he come and catch his bride away. Till we hear, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.